This is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
For hitters. You don't see a lot of hitters.
Oh, my.
Well, this might be a slop knock.
I'm sorry?
Gone! And Jack Caglione. It's a two-run home run to put the Royals back out in front.
First time I've ever heard Rex blessing.
Oh, man. How about that? Stay hot and carry the team and keep driving the Royals bus. That's right. Swing after swing. Off balance. 70% swing. Whatever. Which is unusual.
Hot here
for hitters. You don't see a lot of hitters. Oh my.
Well, this might be,
which is unusual for hitters. You don't see a lot of hitters. Oh my.
Well, this might be a slop knock. Gone. And Jack.
So that was Friday night as Jack Caglione would hit a two-run home run to give the Royals the lead. Jack Caglione is going to be the Royals player of the year this year. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is still on this team, but he may hit 30 home runs. He has 22 on the season. He should play first the rest of his career for the Kansas City Royals and hit third for the next 7 years in this lineup. This can also be one of those keys to keep Bobby Witt Jr. locked up in Kansas City. Now, the team has to win. I understand that, and I'm not here to argue with you guys about what this team has done this year. I'm just picking up the highlight of this season, and this is the first full year of Jack Caglione getting to start for the Kansas City Royals, and he's having absolutely a monster year. In fact, I mean, you can go down everything that people have talked about. During his 12-game hitting streak, he was 20 of 47. That is a .426 average. Four doubles, five home runs, 17 RBI. That slug that you want so desperately or needed for a while for the Kansas City Royals, that's an .830 slug, a .1267 OPS, a .250 OPS plus. That is what you call absolutely in the zone. And Jack Caglione comes from Baseball is Dead, who has been a menace since getting the full potential to play. And Jack Caglione has only trended upward since his debut. This comes from Ballpark Pal. He's rated the number six hitter in Major League Baseball over his last 1,000 pitches faced, and he's number one over his last 250. Something that really tore me up last year was watching Nick Kurtz absolutely take off and run. That's what I wanted to see Jack Caglione do. Obviously, Kurtz went before Jack in the draft. Jack goes right after, and everybody in the offseason is like, man, where's the right fielder? Where's the right fielder? He's right there. Now, Vinny Pasquantino might be getting Wally pipped because I don't know how you can't put Jack Caglione at first base the rest of his career and let him play every single day, which also might be kind of one of those things where at the beginning of the year, we're like, why can't he play against left-handed pitching? What's he got to do to get better? We've seen the development, and I know that it's easy and low-hanging fruit to just blame Matt Cotrero and J.J. Piccolo for not playing him against left-handed hitters, but there's more to it than just that. There was the maturity factor. Vern alluded to it, throwing the bat down, throwing helmets, pouting. There was the not being able to lay off pitches. And the reason the power is looking like it was supposed to be promised is because Jack is more comfortable at the plate. He's hitting behind Bobby Witt Jr. And for the future of this franchise, and I don't know when they get this contract done, they could do it today, they could have done it yesterday, they could do it tomorrow, but you got to lock Jack Caglione up as a future superstar because the superstar moment is engaged fully right now. He'll play four games against the Oakland A's or the Vegas A's or the Sacramento A's, whoever they are, the next 4 days, and he's one of the reasons why you should continue to watch this team. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to win anything this year, but Jack Caglione is doing things that some of us in this town told you could be possible. And now that he's got the maturity, he's got the eye at the plate, and the power was always there. That home run or the slob knock they talk about was a home run that just looked like a Fred McGriff bomb for the Braves back in the 90s when he would just take that right hand and extend it out, and it was gone. And he has that potential to be that guy in your lineup where you can hit the two-run home run. You can hit the three-run home run. You have that guy in your system, and now he should be here to stay. And if you lock him up, that's going to give those things in that contract that we talked about that Bobby has the opt-out after 4 or 5 years to be like, what is this team doing to prove to me that they're serious? Well, if they're serious, I don't know what with the lockout engagement coming up, as more and more conversations are now, we're going to get back into it in November.
I missed that one over the weekend. They've tabled negotiations till November.
They said stuff won't really get serious until about November. So after the World Series, yeah, obviously, it was over, they can get into, you know, business. But,
well, I guess, yeah. But you could also be meeting behind the scenes, sure, and taking care of business to not let it escalate to something like this, sure, but they won't, you know.
And the other thing, too, about Caglione is that this is the player that my generation has been pining for in the Royals system. A guy that just goes up to the plate and you're like, I don't know, could go 450 feet, could go 500 feet, could be a 3-0 lead in the top of the first or the bottom of the first because of what he's showing at the plate. The maturity is starting to get there. The average is now somewhere around 270. The home runs are 22. The slug is 800. This is exactly what you've wanted. If you're from my generation, if you're, you know, young 30s to late 30s, this is the player you've always wanted to have on your roster, and now you have it.
Who is easier to acquire in the offseason, a first baseman or an outfielder, do you think?
First baseman.
Yeah, I do too. So why not keep Cags as your right fielder? And that way you're not back at square one trying to find that right fielder. And then you can go out and find that first baseman. Because look, I think everybody's kind of on that same page of like, Vinny may be the guy that gets traded this offseason, right? There may be other guys that get traded. There may be other changes that happen, as there should be. You're 25 games under 500. But you've got to find a way to support your star players in your lineup now, or they're not going to want to stay here, right? That's the thing. If you're not winning and you're not supporting those core players, then they're not going to want to be here. So it's imperative this offseason. And it's hard to even talk about this offseason because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But what we have to make sure is that this team is going out and not signing Jack Caglione, but signing players that are good, that surround Cags and surround Bobby Witt to help this team win. So when it is time to sign Jack Caglione, he wants to stay here because he knows that the organization is committed to winning and they're out there putting players around him. And so I think that's the most important thing this offseason for this team. How are you going to sell your organization to Bobby Witt Jr. and Jack Caglione more than selling it to anybody else? And you have to go out there and get players around them that will help them win. Because if they don't win, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. And I think those players in particular, because they're the two, stars on this team now, those are the two guys that you really have to go out there and show and basically recruit to stay here in Kansas City, because both could walk on their own volition whenever they want. So I think it's important going forward as we get closer and closer to, you know, potentially a new stadium and all this kind of stuff. It is important to go out there every single year and field a team that shows Bobby and Cags this is a winning organization. They missed on that for the last year. They've got to find a way to get back to that to keep those two guys in the fold. So that's the challenge this offseason. Make your team better. Turn your team into a winner to make sure that Cags and Bobby are here and want to be here for their entire careers.
Well, it's nice to say that and not just have it be to keep Bobby here, to have two guys to keep in the fold. You've added a guy, you've doubled your star player count, and you have Carter Jensen, who's more than a role player, is now playing catcher more than Salvador Perez.
Right.
Does accentuate what happened at the beginning of the season more and more. The more Caglione does this, it accentuates those first couple of months.
Yeah. Going, same with Noah Cameron right now, too, guys. I mean, that's another one they misjudged on. I mean, let Noah call his own game. He's called his own game. He's been one of the best pitchers in the history of baseball. No one has done what Noah Cameron has done in his last three starts in the history of Major League Baseball. And we know how much baseball loves the history side of things, right? So, like, why was Cags mismanaged? Why was Cameron mismanaged all season long? I'm with you, Mac. It makes you go, damn, if they were handling this business the right way from the start of the season, maybe the results are different right now.
And again, there are other tea leaves to, you know, the Cags story. Like, you've got to be the ball player that you have to be on and, you know, in the game. There were episodes, there were things that led to that. Now, again, did he not play opening day? Was that a mistake, in my opinion? Absolutely. But we've seen him get better, because we saw him play against Tarek Skubal 4 months after opening day in LA, and he takes Tarek Skubal bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the 4-for-4 night, 2 doubles, 2 home runs, all that sort of stuff. So depending on where you think baseball players can stay the longest, you know, is right field the best place for Jack to play for the,
I don't know. What do you think?
I think for a couple of years, because I don't know what you get in return with Vinny. I think Vinny would be a package deal. Because what's Blake Mitchell's future? Or is Carter Jensen somebody that maybe you call Blake Mitchell up and you're like, hey, Carter, we're going to try you out in the outfield. And then your outfield's Jack Carter and Kyle Isbell, which I think is a fine center fielder. You're not the LA Dodgers, so people need to realize that you're not going to have a 1-7 dynamite order. But if you've got a solid 1-4, because Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino both might join the team again today, and we'll see what they do moving forward. Because, I mean, honestly, if your lineup is Garcia, Bobby, Cags, Carter, Vinny, Sal's hitting sixth, I'll take that into next year, and hopefully they can get on the right path early, because that's the other thing.
And too, that's the thing, though. You look at the lineup, and you mention all those names. Everybody likes those names, and yet they're still 25 games under 500. So, like, what happened?
I do like Jensen in the outfield. That was a good idea.
I mean, it's a possibility. And to your point of what happened, just not really maybe understanding or knowing where you wanted to go with all this thing. So, I don't know. And somebody says from the 913, don't look now, but Carter Jensen, Salvador Perez, hitting numbers look scary similar. Carter Jensen's a rookie.
Carter Jensen, I saw somebody compared him to MJ Melendez, exact same numbers in their first year, like home runs, average, RBIs, everything, the exact same number I saw.
Numbers might be the same, but the approach and the player is very, very different. Coming up next, Mac has to apologize? Okay.
It's too late to apologize.
Apologize. Apologize.
It's too late.
Kansas City, it's Omar Norman Lott. You're listening to Fesco and Dusky on your home for Chiefs football 96.5 The Fan.